Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To the voice of the American Redoubt. This is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and this is also the voice of the resistance, where we are the resistance against un-Americanism, against a communist agenda. We are the resistance against everything that sets itself against our heritage and our conservative values. Thank you guys for tuning in. I hope you are having a great and a weekend and a drier weekend than we are having. Got a lot of stuff to cover. Yesterday, it was a good show. We had I started getting into propaganda. That's kind of where I left off. And I said, tune in Sunday night for our weekly podcast. And here we are to talk about propaganda. And we'll be getting into that right in segment two, right out the gate, as soon as we're done with the news and commentary. So with that, without further ado, let's just get into the news and commentary right here at Radio Free Redoubt. I'm working on it. All right. And the news and commentary is brought to you by the author, Glenn Tate, and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. So go to 299days.com to learn more. And international news, security-related item. From Reuters, European privacy watchdogs are warning WhatsApp on Friday over sharing user information with their parent company, Facebook. Facebook is a gigantuous data mining machine. And they cautioned Yahoo over a 2014 data breach and scanning of customer emails for U.S. intelligence purposes. We've talked about computer security a lot, and it is really your responsibility. You cannot trust these companies to do it for you. The popular messaging service's recent change in their privacy policy to start sharing users' phone numbers with Facebook. They want your phone number so badly. It's the first policy change since WhatsApp was acquired by Facebook in 2014. It's attracted regulatory scrutiny in Europe. Not going to attract that kind of scrutiny in America, where we don't follow privacy. That's just... not the new America. That's not who we are. That's not America. That's not who we are, right? We're not about privacy. That's not who we are. That's not America. Where have I heard that before? Anyway, WhatsApp, in case you guys don't know it, it's a messaging app service and, social media texting service. Okay, so... The Italian antitrust watchdog on Friday also announced a separate probe into whether WhatsApp obliged users to agree to sharing personal data with Facebook. So there's some people that are putting pressure on them, privacy advocates, which is a good thing. But once again, privacy is on you. You, the user, are responsible for that. I always encourage encryption and anonymizing tools as much as you can use. And remember, when it comes to ultra secure information, do not trust these mobile devices, these smart devices. There are just too many weak points of failure, and too many areas that can be exploited in these smart devices. Keep that in mind. All right. Financial Times, or FT.com, is reporting Thursday's march is being mounted. This is Venezuela, or the continuing saga of the failing state of Venezuela. So Thursday's march is being mounted by an increasingly radicalized opposition, which is enraged by Venezuela's deteriorating economy and the suspension of a constitutionally allowed referendum that sought to remove President Maduro from office. And of course, yesterday we covered this. He's talking about arresting members of the opposition for trying such an unconstitutional thing, when apparently this referendum is actually a process in the Constitution. So, in 2002, public protests outside the Miraflores presidential palace escalated into a brief coup, if you guys remember, or if you don't remember. So the march, which follows opposition-led mass protests and a general strike last week, is slated to take place even as Vatican mediated talks between the government and the opposition Democratic Unity Coalition began on Sunday, today. So this is very, very interesting, something to watch for. Despite the world's largest oil reserves, Venezuela is mired in a prolonged recession that the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, forecasts will see the economy shrink 10% this year. Wow. It's also continues to flirt with default on almost $100 billion of international debt. So we'll continue to watch this. And our economy is also in a very precarious state in the United States. It will be interesting to kind of watch the socio-political fallout from Venezuela. Could be very telling. In national news, I want to give you guys an update. Last week, we covered a story out of, well, it started out in the LA Times. It went viral, where they paid $15,000 and up bonuses to keep our service members in the California National Guard, who served some of them multiple tours in Afghanistan and Iraq, where the Department of Defense says, we want the money back. This you shouldn't have gotten that bonus, and there's penalties and interest, and we're going to garnish wages. So the pressure was on, and this week the Department of Defense decided to put the brakes on that, and there are actually legislators that are pushing for immediate emergency legislation to lift the the stay on collecting that money to make it permanent. So they basically are going to wipe the debt, which is what they should do, in my opinion. Also this week, we're just learning that the FBI, in this investigation of former senator, former hopeful New York mayor, hopeful Wiener, in an investigation, while they're looking for child pornography on his laptop, they stumble across 650,000 emails that his wife, Huma, who's the aide to Hillary Clinton, has sent. And there's metadata there suggesting that this is actually tied to their original investigation. Which I said, you know, it doesn't matter because they already said she's broken the law, and we found thousands of emails, and the emails that she said she turned over, but she didn't. But she didn't mean to break the law. So, yeah, we're not going to recommend charges. Oh, now this is a big deal because now they found emails. What's the point when earlier they found emails and they decided not to prosecute? All she's got to do is just hit replay, right? I never meant to. I never meant to do that. So this is interesting. I think there's more to this than meets the eye. It was laughable this week to see the Clinton campaign demanding full disclosure of the FBI. We want everything you've got. All the facts. You need to disclose them. The people deserve to know the facts. The people the people deserve to have access to all the facts in this case. We demand that you release. I think the FBI should. I think they should. What 160 or 650,000 emails. I think the FBI should release about 100 and say, that's all we got. There you go. Couple days later, oh, we found two more emails. There you go. We're going to be just as cooperative with you, Mrs. Clinton, as you were with us. No problem. And, you know, I also thought, this is so interesting. There is FBI, Department of Justice policy that you cannot open an investigation that could interfere with an election, a primary or a general election. Now, I don't know if it is you can't open an investigation that would affect an election, or you can't open an investigation in order to affect an election. But I thought, this is interesting. First of all, Hillary does not. Do you think for a minute Hillary wants all of 650,000 emails released because the public deserves to know what all the facts are? Do you really believe she wants the public or anyone else having access to those emails? Something just doesn't smell right here. I'm wondering, with the WikiLeaks emails and her numbers collapsing, and now Trump, she and Trump are neck and neck. And I'm just surmising here. I'm just kind of pondering all of this, thinking, what if the numbers are already closing? It looks like Trump will probably win if this downward trend in her polls continues. To come up with a bunch of emails that are meaningless, she loses the election and then says, wait, no fair, because FBI violated its policy and opened an investigation which affected an election. So do-over or something else. There's definitely more here than what is on the surface. There's absolutely no doubt about it. These people are so sneaky and conniving. It'd be very interesting to be a mouse in the corner and find out what type of conversations are taking place behind closed doors. These people are very conniving, very strategic. They're just so cunning that you can't trust anything that you say, especially the mainstream media releasing information. I just don't trust it. Sorry. Call me a cynic. Now, in regional news, here's the regional news. I met with Sherry Dovale at a little Patriot gathering. Some great folks, just wonderful people. And the folks from Redoubt News were there. And Sherry Dovale just got in from Portland, Oregon, had just arrived. And so I got a little briefing, speaking of behind closed doors, we had a little meeting about some of the stuff that happened while she was in Oregon with this trial with the occupiers of the Malheur Wildlife Refuge and some of the shenanigans that the judge was pulling, the U.S. Marshals were pulling, things that the jurors said to her. And we're going to follow up with that. So a treat for you guys for next weekend. And it will probably be, I don't know if it'll be Saturday or Sunday show, but we are going to interview Sherry from Redoubt News. And we're going to get the lowdown from the events that took place there with the Patriots. And by the way, in case you didn't know, in case you have not been keeping up with current events, the occupiers, what they call the Malheur Seven, there's Ammon Bundy, Ryan Bundy, and the whole string. There's seven of them in all total. Not guilty. Found not guilty by a jury of their peers in federal court. And the federal government personnel involved in that case are livid. They are just, and that judge, I know her head just wanted to explode. But hey, that's the way it goes. Not guilty. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to bring all that around full circle tonight in the show. Right after this, here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. Stay right there.
I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies.
Did you have trouble accessing your favorite website this week? Couldn't watch Jericho on Netflix? Had a bit of trouble getting to your Chase online banking? Well, congratulations. You were part of the most major internet hack in years. The hack took place down and took down the Internet of Things, and was more than likely it was a trial run of things to come. Plus, this week we're going to discuss Deutsche Bank and the coming loss, and even though they are jumping in bed with one of a recession-proof industry. Stay tuned this week as I bring you the financial news and commentary that affects your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Coffee. It's the lifeblood of the Northwest, and to Readouters, it's as valuable as sound currency. So why would you trust your Morning Joe to anything besides something out of a can? You need coffee from SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. It's the only supply, the highest quality roasted or unroasted beans for your coffee drinking pleasure or for your food storage. So, just like stacking silver, get yourself some today. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. And just like my friend Whiskey62 says, Sisters Coffee Roasters coffee, it's what all the cool patriots are drinking. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Well, welcome back, and again, a thank you to our sponsor, SistersCoffeeRoasters.com. Get out today there, folks, and support them, two really great gals in a Patriot-owned business. Well, if you can hear us, well, the hack of the century is over, and it was a very nasty one. On Friday, the Internet of Things was hacked on a massive scale, the likes of which we have never seen before. Now, the yet-to-be-known cyber criminals began to turn their attack on a company called DIN. They are an internet infrastructure company that provides critical technology services to some of the top internet destinations. The attack began by creating problems for internet users, reaching the array of sites including Twitter, Amazon, Tumblr, Reddit, Spotify, Netflix. Some other major banks were also available for a period of time. J.P. Morgan and Wells Fargo also reported outages at that particular time. Now, it's fully unclear of who was behind the attack, but we know it was pointed at DIN. But what is known that the attack involved a piece of software called Mirai. It was the same malware strain that was used in a September 2016 attack against the famous internet security blogger Michael Krebs of Krebs on Security. Now, at the end of 2016, the hacker who was responsible for creating the Mirai malware released the source code to it to the internet, effectively letting anyone build their own army to attack any particular website. Now, what Mirai does is it scours the web for the Internet of Things devices protected by little more than factory default usernames and passwords, and then enlists those devices in an attack to hurl junk traffic at online targets until it can no longer accommodate legitimate visitors or users. So that means that even smartphones and home routers were potentially victims of this. The hack had the very makings of a nasty, nasty way of keeping people from what they love the most, their money and their entertainment. Now, we can probably assume that the Russians will probably be blamed for this and quite possibly could be behind it in retaliation to what Vice President Biden said last week. Now, this type of attack is exactly why you need to have cash on hand. In fact, in a recent study by GoBankingRates.com, they surveyed more than 5,000 Americans and found that only 62% of them had $1,000 in savings. Last month, GoBankingRates again posed the same question to Americans of how much they had in their savings account, and this time they asked 7,052 people. The result? Nearly 7 in 10 Americans had less than $1,000 in their savings account. Folks, this is exactly the thing that when this economic event breaks, and it will, cash on hand, silver, gold, lead, dirt, and beans are the only thing that are going to matter. Not Twitter, not Facebook, and not Netflix. Those are just bread and circuses for the masses. Folks, if you don't have cash on hand, that's a poor part of your planning. Now, another world news tonight. I continue to follow Deutsche Bank and their ability to collapse the entire system. Two pieces of information you need to know for this week. No commentary coming from me. All right, Deutsche Bank is expected to report a loss that reveals its results on this coming Thursday. And that's according to a consensus of the mainstream analysts. Now, most of them think the German lender is predicted to report a net loss of 610 million euros for the third quarter of the year, although some have forecasted as large as 2.1 billion. Again, as small as 610 million, as big as 2.1 billion. We don't know yet, and I'll be following that for you. Second thing, Deutsche Bank has also jumped in bed with the tobacco industry. All right. The German group was revealed to be the lead financial advisor on the British American Tobacco's planned $47 billion takeover of Reynolds America last week. It was the biggest deal of the year, and a useful smokescreen to just keep the, right before the bank statement this Thursday. Fellow Patriots, it doesn't matter if they're the lead financial advisor. They still don't have the capital to back up the $14 billion settlement that they owe to the U.S. Justice Department. Fellow Patriots, the news media is more concerned right now on the status of the election and, then the health of the economy. In fact, both stories I brought you tonight didn't receive the full coverage that they should have. This is why, at times like this, you need to continue to read between the lines and investigate for yourself what's truly going on with the economy and the efforts made to hide the truth of where we are headed. Stay focused in this coming week, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519, signing off. God bless.
Segment 2 is brought to you by the great folks at Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. They are working to help Patriots get strategically relocated. If you are looking at the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, they are helping people on a regular basis. Check them out. Go to selkirkmountainrealestate.com, and they are Patriots. Absolutely. My email is johnjacob@radiofreereadout.com. Don't forget about our Facebook page at Facebook, Radio Free Readout. And I am mostly caught up. I got a busy week coming up this week, especially toward the back end. So there will be a delay in responding to some of your emails. But I welcome your critical emails, things that you need something really quickly. If Pauly01 can't handle it, or if it's something I can't get to, I'll kick it over to Pauly01. We'll team up on it. How's that sound? This right here, this is for Christian patriots that are facing the challenges that we face today as right-wing mainstreamists. As we face the assault that in the information war from the extreme left, the left-wing extremists. And when we left off, we were talking about propaganda. Let's talk about it. What is propaganda? All right, now, propaganda didn't used to be a bad word. It has a negative connotation now. Well, let's go to Wikipedia. I love Wikipedia. Propaganda is information, especially of a biased or misleading nature, used to promote a political cause or a point of view. Propaganda is often associated with the psychological mechanisms of influencing and altering the attitude of a population toward a specific cause, position, or political agenda in an effort to form a consensus to a standard set of belief patterns. Now, the standard set of belief patterns used to be one of, well, God-fearing, freedom-loving Americans, for the most part. That was the standard. The nuclear family and values and morals and capitalism. Well, now somehow they want us to believe, those on the left, want us to believe those are extremist views. To protect the life of an unborn baby, to adhere to the biblical model for marriage, a man and a woman. Well, that's extreme. How'd that ever happen? It came through propaganda. Communist propaganda, which I'm going to point out. And so now a new consensus is being formed through the use of propaganda, with victims being people, citizens who are uneducated, do not think for themselves, although they think for themselves, so they're doubly deceived. And now there is a new standard set of belief patterns coming on the horizon because of this. Now, propaganda is information that is not impartial and is used primarily to influence an audience and further an agenda, often by presenting facts selectively, perhaps lying by omission or lying outright, which I'm going to point you to some examples, to encourage a particular synthesis or using loaded messages to produce an emotional rather than a rational response to the information presented. This is one of the very difficult things about dealing with the liberal, left, anti-American, globalist agenda, is that they rely heavily on the emotional impact, leaving any type of rational thinking thrown to the curb, to the gutter. So today, the term propaganda is associated with a manipulative and jingoistic approach, but propaganda historically was a neutral descriptive term. And it actually came out of the Catholic Church to propagate. To propagate is when you're out throwing seeds out, when you're planting grass, you're propagating. Okay, it means to cast out so it will grow, right? So propaganda is to propagate ideas, propagate a way of thinking or a standard set of belief patterns. Now, you could argue at Radio Free Redoubt, we also engage heavily in propaganda, as we should, but we're not lying or lying by omission. In fact, we are putting the light of truth on the left's lies. So, yeah, we do propaganda here. Radio Free Redoubt is the propaganda arm of the Freedom Patriot movement in the Inland Pacific Northwest. But the good kind of propaganda, as in we are propagating ideas. We are casting ideas out so that they can grow, just like throwing grass seed out in your field. Okay. So let's talk about this. Let me give you some examples. We're going to look at two sides of a story. Now, this is from Huffington Post, from an article titled "Common Sense Gun Laws Because There Are No Drive-By Knifings." Ha! Little tongue-in-cheek there. Of course, this was written in, March of 2015, so it wouldn't be entirely accurate. Even prior to that date, there were drive-by knifings. Well, actually, they didn't drive by. They just walked down the sidewalk and start stabbing people. Australia, come to mind? Several places, actually, around the world. I don't have all of those examples right in front of me, but just in the last 6 months, how many knifings or slashings with machetes have we seen with a hatchet on the streets of New York against police officers? How many Allahu Akbar episodes have we seen unfold in Europe where a guy just walks down the street or runs and just starts stabbing people as he goes until the police stop him? Plenty. And in those places where there's strict gun control, how many shootings have we had? They're not supposed to have guns. Well, they somehow get them anyway, don't they? But they have a disarmed populace. Okay, so let's get into this article here. I'm just going to read just a part of it here. You can go and read it for yourself over at Huffington Post, which is has a reputation. It is a reputedly left-wing rag. Gun ownership and civilian gun deaths are uniquely American and are a uniquely American issue amongst developed countries. The U.S. had over 32,000 gun deaths last year. Take that number, 32,000 gun deaths last year. We're going through this article opposed or for common sense gun laws. So-called. All right. 32,000 gun deaths last year in America. Far more, this article claims, than any other developed country. Our rate of gun ownership, 89 guns per 100 civilians. For every 100 civilians, we've got 89 guns. Is nearly 15 times higher than that of our closest ally, Great Britain. Really? The United States guns is 15 times higher than that of our closest ally, Great Britain. Well, let's look at deaths by automobiles. Automobile fatalities. In the United Kingdom, 1,827 deaths in England, in the United Kingdom, 1,827. In the United States, 34,064 people died in the United States from automobile fatalities. Let's see here. Doing the math real quick. That almost looks like, well, I'm just, I didn't do the math before. What is that? 15 times? It's more than 15 times people that are killed in America by cars than they are Britain as well. Why? We have so many more people. All right. Now, 89 guns per 100 civilians. Keep that number in your head. Interesting, isn't it? We've got more people dying from traffic fatalities than we do than Britain has 1,827. Now, moving on. Despite these facts, the very mention of any form of gun control stokes the passion of the American right, unlike any other issue. Okay, stop there. It's not just the right. Those on the left are Democrats, the homosexual community, the environmentalists, many of these people are also pro-gun. This is why heavily Democrat controlled areas outside of urban areas don't want to touch gun control laws, because all of their Democrat constituents are hunters or they want the right to self-defense. It is just an American tradition that runs deep in the veins of even those on the right and the left. It is actually a pretty small minority that wants guns removed. They just, you know, well, Saul Alinsky tactics. We'll talk about that in a bit. Appear more powerful than you really are. Okay. From the internet trolls who threaten your family to the indoctrinated recitations of tired machismo-filled phrases like Moulin Labe, out of my cold dead hands, the small minority of Americans who do have guns are very happy to abuse the First Amendment based on their misinterpretation of the Second. All right. First of all, Moulin Labe and Out of My Cold Dead Hands are not abuses of the First Amendment. And let's talk about threatening families. The left is so much more vitriolic, hateful, and threatening than those on the right, hands down, by far. No question about it. More people that are conservative are threatened by those on the left than the other way around. Okay, of all the pro-gun arguments used most often, the weakest is the constitutional one. Get this. This guy, I don't know if he's from Britain, but he needs to just stay there. There's a reason why we left Britain. Of all the pro-gun arguments used most often, the weakest argument is the constitutional one. Wow. Now, this is from a mindset of people who thinks the Constitution's outdated. It needs to be rewritten, right? It didn't fit. It fit for them in their time, which is not true. That's a lie. The Constitution was timeless. He says, I'm not a constitutional law expert. Oh, that's apparent. But it's pretty reasonable to say that former Chief Justice Warren Burger, a conservative appointed by none other than Richard Nixon, is when speaking of the misuse of the Second Amendment to support private gun ownership, Justice Burger said, the Second Amendment has been the subject of one of the greatest pieces of fraud, I repeat the word fraud, on the American public by special interest groups I have ever seen in my lifetime. That does not sound like a conservative justice to me, and it does not sound like his opinion matches with that of the Founding Fathers and many justices before him, who have very well articulated the true meaning of the Constitution. Here's an interesting one he puts in here as well. Former Justice John Paul Stevens, in his book, Six Amendments, How and Why We Should Change the Constitution, added this. This is from former Justice John Paul Stevens. For over 200 years following the adoption of that amendment, federal judges uniformly understood that the right protected by the text was limited in two ways. First, It applied only to keeping and bearing arms for military purposes. And second, while it limited the power of the federal government, it did not impose any limit whatsoever on the power of states or local governments to regulate the ownership or use of firearms. Interesting way that they think, isn't it? What's interesting is they kind of shot themselves in the foot, pardon the pun, without even realizing it. The first truth here is that all of these justices know that the Second Amendment applies only to keeping and bearing arms for military purposes. Huh. Well, if that's true, then why are you trying to remove combat rifles from the hands of the public? If you believe that, it's only for military purposes. So in other words, only the military can have them. Not true. That's been debunked because the Bill of Rights were specifically specifically for the citizen and individual citizens' rights. Those were laid out very clearly. They don't need a constitutional amendment to have a military to have arms. That's ludicrous. Ludicrous, I say. To have a constitutional amendment authorizing your military to keep and bear arms for national defense. Okay, so anyway, their argument is well made. The Second Amendment is for arms, for military purposes. It's so every citizen will have the means of being able to provide for the defense of his country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. He said it did not impose any limit whatsoever on the power of states or local government. That's not true. It very clearly says the Constitution. Now, no state constitution can contradict the federal constitution, the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the United States says every citizen shall be able to keep and bear arms for the security of a free state. The right of the people, as in individuals, it's very clear if you read the Federalist Papers and you read the arguments and discussions and the letters of the Founding Fathers. It's unquestionable that the Constitution, and especially the Bill of Rights, was intended for the individual citizen to at all times be armed with that military hardware equivalent to what our common soldiers in the militias or the military would carry. Just as the internet and the need for new laws around spam and privacy, so does the advent of more powerful weapons breed the need for change to our laws. Yeah, and their laws around spam and privacy requires the government have access to it whenever they want, right? Oh, wow. And now we need more power. We have more powerful weapons. Really? Can a citizen own artillery? Because back then they could. In fact, up until the 1800s, they could. Or the early 1900s, including full auto weapons up until well into the 20th century. He says, in fact, the U.S. homicide rate is 20 times higher than the combined homicide rate for the next 22 of our peer countries. Stop. Same thing applies here. These are half-truths. Okay? Because they're deceiving. We also have 15 times higher fatalities with firearms versus Britain, but we also have roughly the same numbers when it comes to automobile fatalities. So what kind of common sense laws are you going to put into place for cars? You're going to make everybody drive 10 miles an hour? Matt, why don't you make everybody wear a helmet? We all know that the majority of automobile fatalities are because of head injuries. Why don't we wear helmets? Why don't you make a law requiring us to wear helmets in cars? The laws that are imposed on the people are only as much as the people are willing to endure. It's a risk, cost, risk factor. We're willing to the cost of the risk of being free. I will accept the risks of liberty and being free. And I promise not to shoot myself or anyone in my family accidentally or on purpose. How's that? I'll follow all the laws and I will only use it to preserve life, liberty, and property. How's that? Because that's what the Founding Fathers intended us to have weapons for. So 20 times higher than the combined homicide rate for the next 22 of our peer countries. You take that same argument and apply it to automobile fatalities as well. Somebody wrote this: false opinions are like false money, struck first of all by guilty men and thereafter circulated by honest people who perpetuate the crime without knowing what they are doing. And that came from Joseph Marie de Maistre, a French thinker. False opinions are like false money, struck first of all by guilty men and thereafter circulated by honest people who perpetuate the crime without knowing what they're doing. And that goes for all of the people who cannot guard their minds against propaganda, and they fall for this stuff. And they believe that you should be disarmed based on misleading articles like this, common sense gun laws, because there are no drive-by knifings. Well, we're going to give you some more statistics on the other side of that coin, right on the other side of this break. Stay right there.
Down to the wire, and we Christian patriots have a duty. Some are asking, given the choices we have, why even vote? I'll tell you why, with a question. Do you think there are only two people running for public office this November? John Jacob, Matt Shea, Heather Scott, and many others have been saying it for a long time. We will never fix this country's problems from Washington, D.C. Our solutions are at the local level. There are good, conservative, God-fearing patriots on the ballot who need your vote. From city council positions to county commissioners, legislators, and many more. Christians make up the largest demographic who are not registered to vote. They also make up the largest voting bloc of registered voters who do not vote. If you don't do your duty as a citizen, you bear the responsibility for the condition of our nation, our states, and your local government. In a representative republic, the people get the government they ask for. And when they don't represent, they get the government they deserve. I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
Radio Free Readout.
Segment 3 is brought to you, of course, by Come and Take It. Molon LaVey. Come and Take It. C-A-T-I. KD Armor for your body armor needs. They've got the plates, front, back, and side plates, and body armor carriers, and the soft armor. Patriot-owned business relocated to the American Redoubt, and we're happy to have them here, and we're grateful to have them as our sponsors. Now, the other side of that common sense gun statistics that he was throwing out there, I want to go through something with you. This was originally posted on activistpost.com. I picked it up off of SGT report or sergeantreport.com. And death by guns contrasted against death by vaccines. Very interesting. But I want to focus on the firearms related statistics. Go read those articles when you get a chance. Very illuminating. Interesting facts about gun control. Never made known by the control lobby. There are 30,000 gun-related deaths per year by firearms. Actually, there's a little bit more than that. It's a little over 32,000, right? From that latest. Okay, they're being, well, let's round up. Say 35,000. Why not? There are 30,000 gun-related deaths per year by firearms. I don't know which year they were using, but that's close. This number is not disputed. The U.S. population is 324,059,091 as of Wednesday, June 22nd of 2016. So do the math. That's 0.0000925% of the population die from gun-related actions each year. Statistically speaking, this is insignificant. What is never told, however, is a breakdown of those 30,000 deaths, 32. To put them in perspective as compared to other causes of death. First of all, let's look at this. 65% of those deaths are by suicide, which would never be prevented by gun laws. They never are. High suicide rates, people hang themselves, people asphyxiation. They will find a way if they are bent on killing themselves. 65% are by suicide. 15% are by law enforcement in the line of duty and justified. 17% through criminal activity, gang and drug-related or mentally ill persons, basically gun violence. And then 3% are accidental discharge deaths. So technically, gun violence is not 30,000 annually, but it drops to 5,100. Still too many? Well, first, how are those deaths spanned across the nation? 480 of those homicides were in Chicago. 344 homicides were in Baltimore. 333 homicides were in Detroit. 119 homicides were in Washington, D.C., which is a 54% increase over prior years. So basically, 25% of all gun crime happens in just four cities. All four of those cities have strict, I would say, among the strictest gun laws. So it is not the lack of law that is the root cause. This basically leaves 3,825 for the entire rest of the nation, or about 75 deaths per state. Now that's an average because some states have much higher rates than others. For example, California had 1,169 violent deaths from guns. Gun violence. California had 1,169. Alabama had one. Now we're talking about violent deaths. Gun violence. Not suicides, not police justified shootings, not accidental shootings. We're talking somebody in the commission of a crime tries hurting somebody else and somebody dies. Alabama had one. California had 1,169. California is continuously increasing its stringent and restrictive gun laws. Now, who has the strictest gun laws by far? California, of course, but understand. So it is not guns causing this. It is a crime rate spawned by the number of criminal persons residing in those cities and states. So if all the cities and states are not created equally, then there must be something other than the tool causing the gun deaths. Are 5,100 deaths per year horrific? How about in comparison to other deaths? All death is sad, and especially so when it's in the commission of a crime, but that is the nature of crime. Robbery, death, rape, assault, all are done by criminals, and thinking that criminals will obey laws is ludicrous. That's why they are criminals. But what about the other deaths each year? 40,000 plus die from drug overdose. There is no excuse for that. 40,000 people, more than that, die from drug overdose. 36,000 people die per year from the flu, far exceeding the criminal gun deaths. 34,000 people die per year in traffic fatalities, exceeding gun deaths, even if you include suicide. Now it gets good. 200,000 plus people die each year and growing from preventable medical errors. You are safer in Chicago than when you are in a hospital. And there's in the article at the Activist Post, they got links and all the supporting documentation. 710,000 people die each year from heart disease. It's time to stop the double cheeseburgers. So what's the point? If the anti-gun movement focused their attention on heart disease, even a 10% decrease in cardiac deaths would save twice the number of lives annually of all the gun-related deaths, including suicide, law enforcement, etc. A 10% reduction in medical errors would be a 66% of the total gun deaths, or four times the number of criminal homicides. So, and that's just simple, easy, preventable 10% reductions. So if you have to ask yourself, in the grand scheme of things, why the focus on guns, it's pretty simple. Taking away guns gives control to governments. If you haven't read the report, Death by Government, or Suicide, Death by Government, go check it out. I haven't mentioned that in a while. I'll cover that again soon. The founders of this nation knew that regardless of the form of government, those in power may become corrupt and seek to rule as the British did by trying to disarm the populace of the colonies. It's not difficult to understand that a disarmed populace is a controlled populace. Hey, yeah, just ask Hitler, Stalin, Mao Zedong, the list goes on. Thus, the Second Amendment was proudly and boldly included in the U.S. Constitution. It must be preserved at all costs. Remember, when it comes to gun control, the important word is control, not gun. Today's propaganda has become a lot more sophisticated. It's become more complex, and it's increasing in frequency and intensity. You've heard me oftentimes mention Saul Alinsky tactics that the left uses for propaganda or yellow journalism. So, in the next segment, I'm going to talk about Saul Alinsky tactics. What do I mean by that? It's time that we explore it. And I'm going to give you some examples when we come back. Stay right there. This is the Voice of Resistance.
This is Chris Walsh of Revolutionary Realty in North Idaho. We've developed springs, installed solar and wind power, installed root cellars, solar hot water heaters, all documented on our website, free for public use. Our articles are fully documented, full-page photos and drawings detailing each endeavor. Take a look at our off-grid information on our website, www.revrealty.us. Again, that's www.revrealty.us. When you're looking for property in North Idaho, call a revolutionary, 208-667-1776.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
I'm Heather Scott, your Republican District 1A state representative. When I started 2 years ago, North Idaho was ranked 6th of 35 districts in the state for growing government, and I made it one of my goals to fix that problem and educate citizens to effectively wield their power. I can proudly say North Idaho is now one of the most liberty-minded small government voting districts in the state. Our citizens are highly engaged and using their power to rein in and control overzealous elected officials and bureaucrats. I have proven I am a strong voice for North Idaho, not afraid to take on the establishment for veterans, gun rights, and we the people. I believe in a strong sovereign state, individual freedoms, and bottom-up governing, and the power of the educated citizen. I urge you to check out my website at voteheatherscott.com and join me to help grow freedom across this state. Paid for by Heather Scott for North Idaho, Andrew Scott Treasurer.
And welcome back to segment four here at Radio Free Redoubt. And this segment is sponsored by StrategicLandscapeDesign.com. They will help you plan your landscaping with forethought to integrate the primary needs of food production, water access, energy supply, and security features. These are crucial things in the long-term viability of your retreat or your homestead. So check them out today. They've got water rights, permitting assistance, property assessments, master planning, greenhouse design, so much more. Check them out at Radio Free Redoubt. Check them out at strategiclandscapedesign.com. Actually, you can check them out at Radio Free Redoubt because we've got them listed at the bottom with a clickable banner there at the bottom of our highlights and resources posting for all of our sponsors for each show. Now, let's talk about propaganda. What do we mean by Saul Alinsky tactics? Well, Saul Alinsky wrote a book called Rules for Radicals. There's actually 12 rules. I think there's 12. I've got it. I've got Rules for Radicals. If you don't know, he was a hardcore communist revolutionary in the 60s, early 70s. And Hillary Clinton, the one who hopes to be president, is very fond of Saul Alinsky, knew him personally, and was heavily influenced by him. And she wrote a paper, I think her senior thesis was written on him. And she and Obama are both disciples of Saul Alinsky, who dedicated his book to Lucifer, by the way. The ultimate radical. So that's the kind of people that are. Is it any wonder that she's a liar? Is it any wonder that she's a conniving and sneaky? Is it any wonder that she is, according to the testimony of many rape victims from Bill Clinton, has approached these women and Hillary has told them to keep their mouths shut in order to preserve she and Bill's political ambitions? There is so much involved with these people. They're just evil. And Saul Alinsky, one of their gurus that they follow, hardcore communist, has this Rules for Radicals. I'm going to cover some of these. Some of these that are really pertinent. Of course, you know, the rule is what? Number one is always remember the first rule of power tactics. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. This is why they try to put forward this impression that they are so all powerful, all knowing, that they will crush you if you resist, that they have all these. They don't want you to be empowered. They want you to believe you have more power. They have more power than they actually do. This is why the states will not demand that this land be returned to them. For just one example of many examples. But let's go down through Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. Rule number 5, ridicule is man's most potent weapon. There is no defense. It's irrational. It's infuriating. It also works as a key pressure point to force the enemy into concessions. Huh. How much have we heard from them? You have to compromise if you want to get anything done. That's a lie from the left. Of course, we're talking about ridicule. Very potent weapon. And this is again, we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. Because I have a couple of real-world examples just recently aimed at trying to destroy God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that are in the fight for you in the trenches. Rule number 8, keep the pressure on. Never let up. Keep trying new things to keep the opposition off balance. As the opposition masters one approach, hit them from the flank with something new. Attack, attack, attack from all sides, never giving the reeling organization a chance to rest, regroup, recover, or re-strategize. That's a note taken from, this is Beck's Best, this article here. We'll link to it for you. Rule number 9, the threat is usually more terrifying than the thing itself. Imagination and ego can dream up many more consequences than any activist. So, perception is reality, right? Implying threats, the things that they're going to do to you. Rule number 10, if you push a negative hard enough, it will push through and become a positive. Violence from the other side can win the public to your side because the public sympathizes with the underdog. This is why we see communist tactics and a lot of these Occupy and Black Lives Matter, a lot of heavy hitter communist agitators involved in Black Lives Matter, pushing for violence, trying to escalate the situation so they can get their head broke, so they can point to it on the news and say, oh, look at us, we're victims, look at the police are brutalizing us, when they're the ones that actually escalated the violence. This is a Saul Alinsky tactic. Rule number 12, pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. cut off the support network, and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. Let me read that one again because this ties right into what I'm about ready to go into. Rule number 12, Saul Alinsky. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Cut off the support network and isolate the target from sympathy. Go after people and not institutions. People hurt faster than institutions. So the opposition, and we've seen the media turn a hard left. I mean, increasingly so in the last couple of decades, right? And now they're just blatant. They don't even hide it. So there is a picture of Heather Scott, a poster that they're putting out from Heather's opposition. Heather Scott is bad for business. Heather Scott supports armed radicals. Heather Scott defends poachers. Vote for Kate. But in big, bold, yellow, bright letters on this black background, it says Heather Scott is too extreme for Idaho. And they've got the picture of her holding the Confederate flag, a Confederate battle flag. So she's a racist, right? This is what they're saying. She's a racist. And the left, the trolls, are saying I covered this yesterday, so forgive me for you guys that listened yesterday. I'm not going to go as in depth as I did yesterday on this. But they're saying, you know, this has no ties to North Idaho except for the Aryans and racism, right? And hate. But the context of this was when she saw that the South was being stripped of something that's a very integrated part of their heritage. It's a Confederate battle flag, right? And it's representative of, you know, Southern pride and unity and, well, pretty traditional and conservative values. And she said, when they come for that Confederate flag, they're coming for the Christian flag next. They're coming for the Gadsden flag. They're coming for the appeal to heaven flag. She stood by the people of the South, even though she's not from the South, and that flag has no ties to the Inland Pacific Northwest, but it's the principle. I stand by you guys' right to fly that flag as part of your heritage. It is a part of their heritage. You can't erase that. You can erase it from the memories of the next generation, but you can't change the fact that that was very much a part of their heritage in the South, just as much as how they're trying to demonize the Gadsden flag and make that an anti-government, extremist, even racist flag. So this is the kind of stuff that they're doing. But what's interesting is that this poster that's been sent out by her adversary, I wouldn't even say an opponent, is very adversarial. Let me read this to you. At the very bottom, it says, paid for by the Conservation Voters of Idaho for Idaho Action Fund. At a first glance, I can't tell you how many patriots I've heard say, hey, did you see that thing that was paid for by the conservative voters of Idaho? I said, look closer. That was no accident. Very sneaky. Very calculated. It's the Conservation Voters for Idaho, not the Conservative Voters for Idaho, are not coming after Heather Scott. And they're like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. So this ad was in the B, in the, what's there, Sandpoint B, whatever that is over there. Okay. Paid for by they even wrote in here, the Conservative Voters for Idaho Action, the person who sent this in. It's Conservation Voters for Idaho Action Fund. CVI is an affiliate of the Center for American Progress. This was paid for in the local newspaper, funded. They're affiliated with the Center for American Progress, a major left-wing, keep wanting to say Saul Alinsky, the other bad guy, George Soros, who's behind Center for American Progress, which was founded in 2003 by John Podesta, Hillary's campaign manager. The current head of the Center for American Progress is Carol Browner, formerly the director of the Obama administration's Office of Energy and Climate. The heavy hitters, Washington, D.C., at the highest level, are paying for and propagating propaganda at the local level in our communities. Heads up, patriots. They're using Saul Alinsky tactics to attack individuals, the individual. They're attacking Representative Heather Scott. They're attacking Vito Barbieri, conservative, their legislator. They're attacking conservative legislator Matt Shea, individually, personally. Got him right here. Defending North Idaho. Now, this is from the Inlander, hardcore left-wing rag. And this guy here, his name's John Reuter, R-E-U-T-E-R. North Idaho gets a bad rap. It's nationally known as a region packed with white supremacists. Not true. Radical bunker dwellers and unhinged conspiracy theorists. And while some of those folks might be found from time to time hanging around the local army surplus store, by far the overwhelming number of North Idaho Idahoans I know have worked hard to repel the darker elements that threaten their reputation and the community. This guy is all bass ackwards because he is heavily surrounded by patriots. He doesn't want to admit it. So he goes on to demonize Heather Scott with falsehoods. Just read a couple of these. This is propaganda. Heather Scott, a recently elected state representative for Bonner and Boundary Counties, is Exhibit A. Scott recently asked her supporters to report any registered Republican who has a sign for her opponent in his or her yard so that she could create a Joseph McCarthy-style list of Democrats in disguise. Not true. I spoke with her about this. It was so that they could try to win people over and talk to them and to expose the issues and talk about the issues with them. Apparently, Scott doesn't get that it isn't just Democrats who are fed up with her embarrassing North Idaho, but many Republicans and independents, too. So this is another lie. We're all in on this. It's not just Democrats. It's Republicans and independents are fed up with her, too. All of us are. So the person on the fence calls themselves a conservative is reading this propaganda, this tripe, and going, wow, I didn't realize she was. Why are they embarrassed with her? Sadly, there are too many reasons. Well, Scott campaigned proudly holding a Confederate flag, a symbol that has no connection to North Idaho other than failed neo-Nazis. Ah, there's the connection. So he just connected Confederate flag, Heather Scott, and neo-Nazi, all brought into. They're trained to do this. This past January, in her official capacity, she traveled to Eastern Oregon's Malheur National Wildlife Refuge to support Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy and his son Ammon when they and others took over a federal building in an armed occupation aimed at seizing our public lands. Okay, several things here. Dispel. I'm not going to go through the rest of the article, okay, but it's just junk. It's just pure garbage and lies and half-truths and just misleading information. First of all, she went to the wildlife refuge not to support Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy. He was not even there. She did not go there to support those who took over the refuge. She went there for two reasons, because I spoke with the legislators that were involved in that. And they said, we want to go down there for two reasons. We want to both sides of the story from the sheriff, and we want to get the side of the story from the people that are out there. We want to find out what's going on because there has been federal overreach. And we want to make sure that this is resolved peacefully without anybody getting killed. We don't want this to turn into another Waco. We want a peaceful resolution. I can't tell you how many times they said that. The occupiers there didn't occupy, aimed at seizing our public lands. Seizing our public lands. Okay, the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, by the way, was not public lands. It was private land. It was privately owned ranches that the BLM stiff-armed and pressured and hurt them financially until they were forced into selling the land. The Malheur Wildlife Refuge is made up of 40 to 50 or more ranches that have been ran out of business by the BLM. She has repeatedly voted against funding education after fellow state representative. Blah, blah, blah. So I'm just going to stop right there. But what's the character? What type of credibility does this yellow journalist have? John Reuter, a former Sandpoint City Councilman, has been active in protecting the environment, red flag, expanding LGBT rights, another red flag, and Idaho's GOP politics. Whoa, infiltrator. The guy is a leftist environmentalist. He's expanded sexual deviancy, and he's involved in Idaho GOP politics. He's one of the infiltrators trying to push the conservative, what used to be conservative Republican Party, to the left. And these guys are helping to perpetuate it. I got another article here from, Matt Shea, Representative Matt Shea. He's affecting elections. There may be more than meets the eye with this guy because he's very likely affecting elections now, like the city council elections. And yes, they all do. Duh. The Democrats are trying to affect the elections and the Republicans. Look, you got somebody sitting in office, but there's like this sneaky, sinister conspiracy. Who are the conspiracy theorists now? The left. But these are the Saul Alinsky tactics that they're using to try to attack somebody with misinformation. And talk about hatred. The other part of this that you guys need to be aware of is the trolls. And this is what usually happens. You'll get about three or four people who all get four or five different online personalities, different names. So when somebody with a conservative viewpoint expresses their views on an issue, it appears that there's 20 to 25 people to two. It gives the impression that the overwhelming majority of the people out there feel differently than you do. And it takes many of these people that are on the fence, and either if it doesn't win them over to their side, it at least neutralizes them. It has a chilling effect. This is intentional. These are tactics that are taught to those on the left. They're called trolls. And we talk about the hatred. These guys are basically taught to use all of the same lingo. I was going to read this, but I'm not going to go into these. These are just repulsive. That's politics. I know politics is dirty, and we're in a fight. We're in a fight with godless people who don't have morals, and they're the most hateful, vitriolic people that you can encounter, and they're in full force. I want you to stand firm in the things that you know to be true, and don't be shaken. Do not allow them to have that chilling effect on you. Make your voice be known. There's a couple of resources that I want to point you guys to. One's called Confrontational Politics. I have this book and I've read it, and it is an excellent book by H.L. Richardson. We're going to put the link in here in the highlights and resources posting. We'll probably post it on Facebook too. It's called Confrontational Politics. H.L. Richardson wrote this book to help conservatives who are typically conservative. They don't fight. They don't get in the fight. They don't fight dirty. The left fights dirty, and we don't, because we're just nice. And he really addresses that, how we have to get in the fight, and we have to do most of our fighting on our knees and through the word. But that doesn't mean lay down and let a leftist agenda just steamroll right over you, your children, your families, your community, and let a godless agenda take hold. You are to stand against evil. You are to intercede for the oppressed. And you can't do that if you're just sitting there reading the paper and shaking your head and saying, wow, things have gotten so bad, and you don't do anything about it. The Confrontational Politics talks about how we need to overcome that, and we need to get in the fight and not be afraid to roll up our sleeves and stand toe-to-toe, nose-to-nose with these people, and stand them down and not budge and not compromise. They're taught to work you into a corner to force you to compromise. And we've compromised the Republic right off the cliff. There's another one called Rules for Conservatives, A Response to Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. Okay, A Response to Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. It's not by Saul Alinsky. It's called Rules for Conservatives. It's basically the antithesis to the Saul Alinsky's book. It's how you can apply these same tools. I know there's a lot of Christian patriots out there that make their voices be heard, who counter the trolls, and they offer opposing viewpoints, because it's important for the neutral person sitting there looking at both sides of this. And you got 25 people all hammering this one or two people. They don't want to be a victim of that type of brutality and bullying. So they just move along and they're out of the fight. So more and more patriots are getting engaged on that level. Over at Town Hall, there's an article that we're going to link to you guys by John Hawkins called 12 Ways to Use Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals Against Liberals. There's actually several resources very similar to this. And it was a great article. I'm not going to have time to go into it, but I want to invite you guys to go check that out and read it and start applying this stuff. Start thinking differently. I've pointed out different propaganda to you over the last, couple months. Now, one, the issue of Captain America was just horrendous. The evil guy Hydra giving the patriotic speech to all the white males about how these people are destroying your country and coming across the borders, and you need to defend your borders, and Europe is lost, and that was a classic, class A piece of propaganda. But you've got to recognize it as propaganda. Now, most of you do. What was the other one? Oh, the military indoctrination, the military propaganda. Using a Coeur d'Alene, Idaho resident as their case example of a right-wing extremist, which was a reportable event. This is being taught to our active duty and reserve military personnel in their anti-terrorism training. But they had two Muslim case examples, which in the training was not reportable. They focused on the right-wing extremist, the flannel shirt-wearing guy from Idaho. Pure, pure propaganda, very well calculated. All right, you need to defeat it in your mind, first of all, and inform others. And don't fall for this stuff. All right? Now, more to follow. We're going to be covering more of this stuff. So anyway, there's a different aspect, different angle for you. You guys have a great week. Thank you so much for your letters of encouragement. Thank you for your prayers. We need prayers of protection. And we always appreciate your financial support as we grow. The costs are becoming, I don't want to say unbearable. They're growing. And we just need your help. So thank you guys. If you feel blessed and you find value in Radio Free Readout, then please help support us. Consider supporting us. Anything will help. And one thing that will help too, when you guys go to Amazon.com to buy anything, click on the Amazon link at Radio Free Readout first. And that will, even if you buy something in the next 24 hours after doing that, then that helps support. They have an affiliate fee and they affiliate account and they kick a little bit over to us and it all adds up. So thank you guys for those of you doing that. All right. This is Radio Free Redoubt and this is the John Jacob Schmidt Show. Have a blessed week. Good night.